Thanks for listening to this Arrow FM podcast, brought to you with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Hello, welcome back to Discover the Wonders. Today we are talking about bread and fish. So we have a story in the Bible. It's actually one of my favorite stories about an amazing miracle Jesus did with bread and fish. And then I've got some other stories about bread and fish. So starting off with the Bible story, this is a really neat story that shows what God can do with the little things that we give him. It shows how God can make a little go a long way. So Jesus is with his disciples and they're all very tired because of the miracles that Jesus has been doing. And you know, there's a lot of people that want to see Jesus. They don't necessarily all believe in him, but they want to see this person who, you know, does amazing things to people, who heals the blind people and the leprous people. So they're all, you know, crowding around and he's got these huge crowds that are following him. And the disciples are so busy, they don't even have time to eat. So when Jesus saw how tired they looked, he said, right, let's go off and have a rest for a while. So the disciples were thankful. They got into Peter's boat and they set off across the lake. But as they got closer to the other side of the lake, they saw there were people waiting for them there. So the people had seen the boat leave. And they had gone around the shore, getting there in front of them. So the disciples must have grown and thought, oh, here we go again. But when Jesus looked at these huge crowds of people, he didn't just see them as, you know, being annoying or nuisances. When he looked at them, he felt full of love for them and compassion. And the Bible actually says he saw them as sheep having no shepherd. So, you know, he wanted to teach them and wanted to care for them. And so he didn't send them away. He kept on teaching them. But the time came when the disciples came to him and said, you need to send the crowds away, Jesus. There are no shops here. How are they all going to get dinner? And so, yeah, you need to send them home. And Jesus said to them, why don't you feed them? And they said, how could we ever do that? You know, it would cost a whole lot of money to feed them. There must be at least 5,000 men, not even counting the women and the children. So this is not just a big crowd of people. This is a huge crowd of people. This is like a whole town worth of people. And Jesus is saying to his disciples, why don't you feed them? Now that sounds like a silly thing to say, but Jesus is someone who is all powerful. So for him to say that, it's not so silly. And so one of the disciples said, well, the only food we have here is one boy's lunch, which is five small loaves or like five small buns and two fish. But what good is that going to do? I mean, that's only enough for one child. There's no way that's going to go around 5,000 people plus women and children, right? Wrong. When you have Jesus there, miracles happen. And so he said, divide the people into groups of 50 and get them to sit down on the grass. And so the disciples got busy organizing everybody. And Jesus took that little boy's lunch. And you know, that little boy was giving up what he had. That was his own lunch. You know, like how's that going to help anybody else anyway? But he gave it up. He shared what he had. He gave it to Jesus. Jesus took his lunch and he held it up and he blessed it and he thanked God for it. And then he got the disciples to start handing them out. And as they did that, Jesus did an amazing miracle. The food just didn't run out. There was just more and more. And so everybody who was there that day got lunch. There was enough for everybody. And, you know, afterwards, Jesus said to the disciples, pick up all the leftovers. Leftovers? So they went around and each of them, all 12 of them, came back with a basket full. So there were 12 baskets full left over from one little boy's lunch. Now, that sounds impossible, right? But with God, all things are possible. And so when that little boy gave Jesus a little bit of food that he had, Jesus multiplied it and made it enough for everybody. And now I'm going to sing a little song about this little boy, or about the story.
Little fishes, 5 loaves of bread, 5,000 people by Jesus were fed. This is what happened when one little lad gladly gave to Jesus all he had. All that I have, all that I have, I will give Jesus all that I have. 2 little fishes, 5 loaves of bread, 5,000 people by Jesus were fed. This is what happened when one little lad gladly he gave to Jesus all he had. All that I have, all that I have, I will give Jesus all that I have.
Now I'm going to tell you a story about somebody who was like that boy who gave some food away, and also about somebody who prayed to God for food and how God provided food for them. So this story is the miser. And a miser is a very greedy person who doesn't like to give anybody else any money and who barely even likes to spend money on themselves. 2 little motherless girls lived in a small cottage in the village. Sally was about 8 years old and her sister Mary was 6. They were very poor. Their father was a working man and he found great difficulty in supporting himself and his children. One day these 2 little girls were left alone as their father had gone out to work. They had their breakfast in the morning with him before he left, but they had no dinner nor anything to eat during the rest of the day. About the middle of the afternoon, Mary said to her sister, "Sally, I'm very hungry. Is there anything in the cupboard that we can get to eat?" "No," said Sally, "I've looked all through the cupboard, but there isn't a crust of bread or a cold potato or anything to eat. I wish there was something, for I'm hungry too." "Oh dear, what shall we do?" cried Mary. "I'm too hungry to wait till Father comes home." "Mary," said her sister, "suppose we ask our Father in heaven to give us something to eat. Let us kneel down and say the Lord's Prayer. When we come to that part about daily bread, we'll say it over 3 times and then wait and see if God will send us some." Mary agreed. They both kneeled down and Sally began, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread." Then they waited quietly to see if anything would come. While this was going on inside that little cottage, let me tell you what was taking place outside. Not far from this cottage lived an old man who was a miser. He had a good deal of money, but he never gave any of it to others and never would spend a penny for himself if he could possibly help it. But that afternoon he had left home to go to the baker's to buy a loaf of bread. He got the loaf and, as it was a stormy afternoon, he put it under his coat as he started to walk home. Now it happened that just as he was passing the cottage in which the little girls were, a strong blast of wind blew the rain in his face and he stepped into the porch of the cottage and crouched down in the corner to shelter himself from the wind and rain. In this position, his ear was brought quite close to the keyhole of the door. He heard what the little girls had said about being hungry. He heard their proposal to pray to the Father in heaven to give them bread. He heard the thrice repeated prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread." Then came the silence when the little ones waited and watched for the bread. This had a strange effect on the miser. His hard, selfish heart, which had never felt a generous feeling for anyone, warmed up and grew suddenly soft in tenderness towards these helpless, hungry little ones. Tears moistened his eyes. He put his thumb on the latch of the door. The latch was gently lifted and the door opened. He took the loaf from under his coat and threw it into the room. The little girls, still watching and waiting on their knees, saw the loaf go bouncing over the floor. They jumped up on their feet and clapped their hands for joy. "Oh, Sally," said little Mary, "how good God is to answer our prayer so soon. Did he send an angel from heaven to bring us this bread?" "I don't know who brought it," answered Sally, "but I'm sure that God sent it." And how about the miser? For the first time in his life, he'd given to the poor. Did the promise fail, which says, "Give and it shall be given unto you"? No, God's promises never fail. The old man went to the baker's and brought another loaf for himself, and then he went home with different feelings from what he had ever had before. The warm, soft feeling that came into his hard heart when he gave the loaf to those children didn't pass away. It grew upon him. He had found so much pleasure in doing that one kind act that he went on and did more, and God blessed him in doing it. He began to pray to that God who had answered the prayer of those hungry girls for bread. He read the Bible. He found out that the Lord Jesus had met all his need as a poor lost sinner, and he was saved. Sometime later he died a happy Christian, but before he passed away, as he was the owner of the cottage in which the little girls lived, he gave it to their father. So that's a pretty neat story. And now we're going to talk a little bit about fish. So I'm going to read something I wrote once about fish, and then I'm going to tell a few stories. So first is a Bible verse, Psalm 5 verse 3, which says, "My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up." So this little devotion is called Look Up. Have you ever seen a flounder's eyes? A flounder is a flat fish with both eyes on top of its flat body. Strangely, flounder are born looking like normal fish with an eye on each side of its face. But as they grow, one eye moves over to the other eye. It doesn't sound real, but it is. With two eyes next to each other, their eyes face skyward. They look up. That's exactly how our eyes should be too. I don't mean we should walk around looking up at the sky, but when we keep our minds focused on God, it is as if we are looking up. We need to keep our eyes on God. David said that in the morning he prayed to God and looked up. In 2 Chronicles, in the time of King Jehoshaphat, the people were in trouble. The Ammonites and some others had come to fight them. Jehoshaphat prayed to God and said, "O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee." So when Jehoshaphat didn't know what to do, he looked up. He prayed to the Lord, and God helped them win the battle without even having to fight. It's the same for us. When we don't know what to do or have problems, we need to look up. We need to ask for God's help. He'll help us too. And whether we have problems or not, we still need to look up. We always need God's help for every hour of every day. We also need to look up, giving thanks to God for all his blessings. Now I have a story. This is quite a neat kind of ocean fish story. While strolling along the seashore early one morning, Dr. McCrossan discovered he was not alone. Seated on one of the benches was an old sailor. His shirt, cap, and rugged features all spoke of his occupation. Sitting down beside the old sailor, the doctor asked, "What is the meaning of that fish picture on your button?" "There's a tale behind that button," replied the old man. "I like to tell it to anyone who will listen." Well, I'm interested. Please go ahead. Well, it goes back some 60 years when I was a boy and went to sea. I was jolly lucky, sir, in the ship that I happened to take. The captain was a good man, a Christian. I learned the meaning of that word on his ship. Don't know that I'd ever met a real one before. We hadn't gone far out to sea when he ordered all hands on deck. Boys, he said, it has always been my custom to have a prayer whenever I set out on a voyage and commit the ship to the Lord God. I believe in prayer, and he's never failed me when I really trusted him. Right there, he ordered us all down on our knees while he prayed and committed the ship, everyone and everything on board, to the Lord. Every day he prayed with us and read a portion of the book, the Bible. It wasn't long before every sailor on board was converted to God. It wasn't only the captain's teaching, but his life that won us. There was no drinking, fighting, or swearing during the entire voyage. We had a fair voyage around the Cape and north to India. After unloading, we took on a new cargo and started for home. We had been gone a year. All went well until we sailed into the Bay of Biscay. There we ran into a terrible storm. I thought of Jonah's experiences, but there was no Jonah on our ship. She was lifted mountain high, then plunged to the depths of the sea. Suddenly we struck a sharp rock and we rushed to the pumps. Working as hard as we couldn't stop the water from rising. We were completely worn out and told the captain we were a dead beat. Our good captain didn't seem worried. Boys, he said, remember when we left England, we prayed and committed the ship to God. I know he heard me and I am trusting him. He will see us safely through. Cheered by these words, we returned to work, and it wasn't long before we noticed the water was going down. This spurred us on, and in a short time the ship was pumped dry. What happened, we didn't know. We just thanked Almighty God, and when we reached smooth water, we held a praise meeting. When we arrived on shore, the ship was dry docked. And what do you suppose we found? Well, that great hole was cooked by a fish. A dolphin, if you please, sir. The same Lord who spoke to Jonah's fish spoke to that dolphin so that he poked his nose into the ship's hold. Sometimes I think dumb creatures can hear God's voice when stupid humans who don't believe in him cannot. And the button, I reminded him. Oh yes, we had a pin made to remember the goodness of the Lord with a picture of a dolphin on it. I always wear it. And every morning I sit here by the shore in case some lonely fellow comes along needing a helping hand. I tell him the story and show him the way to God, the God who loves him and can help him. I try to lead him to the Saviour just as our good captain showed us the way when we first put out to sea. Now I have a story about a fish who catches a man. So, Pancho was a teenage native who lived in one of the Indian tribes in the jungles of Venezuela. An 18-year-old living where Pancho lived has a different life than most of us have. For instance, he could not just go to the refrigerator, pantry, or store to get food to eat. He had to go out and hunt or fish for it. As a young man, he spent many hours hunting and fishing for the food and clothing his family needed. One day, Pancho prepared his canoe to go fishing. He didn't use a hook and a line like some of us use. Instead, he used a long spear with a line attached called a harpoon. It was a pretty morning, cool and quiet. It only took a short time to check his knives, lines, and harpoon. He was not going fishing for just any kind of fish. Pancho was one of the few skilled fishermen who knew how to catch the paicha, a fish that is actually a freshwater mammal. He knew that these fish grew very large, some weighed over 100 pounds. A few strong pulls with his paddle took the canoe into the current of the river. The current would carry him along so he didn't have to paddle, but could pay full attention to the surface of the river. With his harpoon in hand ready to throw, Pancho looked for the air bubbles that any mammal underwater must release from time to time. The water was not clear enough to see the fish, but Paiche fishermen learned from experience how deep and how far they must plunge their harpoons. If they are able to spear the fish, the fight begins. The strong line attached to the end of the harpoon is used to help bring the fish into the boat. A big Paiche will fight for a long time. As the morning got warmer, Pancho, still watching, began to relax and his mind wandered to other things. One of these thoughts, which he did not like, kept coming back even though he tried to forget about it. A missionary had explained to Pancho that he was a sinner and needed to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as his saviour. As Pancho thought about what the missionary had told him, he became more upset. "Is there not plenty of time to ask Jesus to save me?" he thought. He admitted that he was a sinner. He knew it would be good to have those sins forgiven and not be afraid to die or to meet God. "But I'm still young and strong," he argued with himself. "I don't need to be saved now. I'll wait until I'm old." Bubbles. Pancho stiffened to attention. His hand gripped the smooth surface of the harpoon. Every muscle tensed as he watched. More bubbles. Pancho's harpoon hissed into the water as he threw it with all his strength. Moments after the harpoon disappeared below the surface, the rope grew taut. Pancho knew he'd made a strike. Then it happened. Pancho never knew exactly how. Somehow the heavy line from the harpoon had looped around his ankle. When it tightened around his leg, the jerk pulled him off balance, toppling him into the water. In terror, Pancho found himself being dragged through the water by the huge fish. So the fish has caught a man. Frantically, he struggled with the line, but it only seemed to tighten more. As he swirled helplessly through the water, his lungs crying for air, Pancho's past life and many of his sins flashed through his mind. His greatest sin of all seemed to be in not receiving the great gift of salvation while there had still been time. In his mind, he called upon the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive his sins and save him. Suddenly, he was free. The line was gone. He struggled to the surface and gasped for air. "Thank you, Lord Jesus," he cried. That night, as Pancho sat with his family, friends, and the missionary, he told them the whole story. They could see a change in him and knew it was not just the relief of escaping death. Life in the jungle had many dangers. The firelight reflected the glow in his eyes. Pancho was saved twice, first from his sins and second from drowning. He had called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive his sins, and God had forgiven him. And the Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And now I have another story called The Returning Tide, and this one is in Norway. The Egede family lived in the country of Norway on the seacoast. 10-year-old Paul was the only child in the family. One morning, when Mr. Egede was away on business, Paul asked his mother, "May I go to the Strands today and look for fish?" The Strands is the name of land that is normally covered by the ocean but is left bare when the tide flows out. "All right, you may go, but be sure you come home before noon," Paul's mother said. Paul found a bucket for carrying the fish that he hoped to find and ran happily down the path which led from their cottage to the sea. Behind him rose majestic mountains. As he came near the Strands, he could see seagulls flying in the sky, but no person was in sight. Paul began looking for a fish called flounder. They are small fish that look like flat round stones. These fish swim along the bottom of the ocean, and sometimes they get trapped in small pools of water when the tide goes out. Some days Paul didn't find any fish, but today was unusually good. He was finding so many that he forgot all about the time. He searched further out on the Strands, hoping to fill his bucket with fish. He was so busy looking for fish that he never noticed the tide coming back in behind him. When he finally turned around, he saw his mother on the shore half a mile away. Because the tide had covered all that distance with water, which was lower than where Paul was, he couldn't get back to shore. Slowly and steadily, the tide kept rising. It rose to his ankles, then it rose to his knees. If Paul didn't do something soon, he would be trapped and he couldn't swim. He was in great danger. Paul ran to the closest rock and climbed on top of it, but the water kept getting higher too. On shore, Paul's mother could see the tide rising and she knew the danger her son was in. She cried to God in prayer, "Oh God, stop the rising tide and spare my son," she pleaded. The water rose until it completely covered the rock Paul was standing on. Then it stopped rising. For several long hours, Paul stood on that rock until the tide flowed back out and it was possible to wade back to shore. How thankful Paul and his mother both were. They both learned a lesson that day, that God answers the prayers of those who love him. Psalm 145:18-19 says, "The Lord is near unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them." A few years after this story happened, when Paul was 13, the Egede family moved to icy Greenland. They went there to tell the Inuits about the love of God in sending his son into this world to die for them. Now I'm going to sing a song called "A Shelter in the Time of Storm." And it talks about Jesus being a rock, which was what Paul was standing on.
The Lord's our rock, in him we hide, a shelter in the time of the storm. Secure whatever ill betide, he's a shelter in the time of the storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, he's a shelter in the time of the storm. A shade by day, defense by night, he's a shelter in the time of the storm. No fear's alarm, no foe's affright, he's a shelter in the time of the storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, he's a shelter in the time of the storm. Oh, rock divine, oh, refuge dear, he's a shelter in the time of the storm. Be thou shelter in the time of the storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, he's a shelter in the time of the storm.
So I hope these stories have showed you how good it is to give and be a generous giver. Also what God can do with the little that we give to him. How real God is when we pray to him. And also that we shouldn't put off getting our sins forgiven and believing in Jesus, because we never know when our time is up. But God is always ready to listen to us when we call upon him.